I hope you're all ready for another week of our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired Word. Today we're going to pick up the story in Numbers, chapter number 7, right at verse number 18. But I need to warn you ahead of time, we're going to do some bouncing, because we've arrived at a place in the story where material is in several different places, several different books, and we have to draw it together in order to make the best sense out of it. We're talking about the dedication of the tabernacle. It was put up for the very first time on the first day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus. So we're talking about 19 April 1455 BC, according to my chronology. We know that it will be a 12-day process because there are 12 tribes, and each tribe makes a special donation during the dedication ceremonies. We also know that the altar will take a total of 7 days to go through the ordination process, along with the priests going through a 7-day ordination process. And then on the 8th day, they will be fully devoted to the use of God's holiness. And that is why anytime we look at the dedication of the tabernacle or the temple, it takes 8 days total. We've already talked about the first day, the initial day, when everything gets sprinkled with some blood and the priests get anointed with both blood and oil. They have their brand new clothes on. Judah gives its dedicatory gift because they are the premier tribe, the tribe of inheritance now, the tribe of blessing. Even the Levites begin a dedication process on the first day of the first month of the second Jewish year. And then we settle down into several days of repeated ceremony. So Numbers chapter 7, verse number 18, says this: on the second day, Netanel, the son of Zuar, the chief of Issachar, made an offering. Now, I have gone back and checked. It would appear that the order of gift presentation is related to the encampment arrangement around the tabernacle. Everybody's shifted around where the tribes are in a certain pattern. And it's also related to the order that the non-Levitical tribes set out on the march whenever they go to their next site of encampment. So Issachar follows Judah. They're encamped right next to Judah. And from here on out, that seems to be the order of these presentations. Now, the items presented are exactly the same as what Judah gave. Verse 19, he offered for his offering 1 silver plate whose weight was 130 shekels. Now, a shekel is about 0.4 of an ounce. So we're talking about this plate weighs 3 pounds and a quarter. It is accompanied by 1 silver basin of 70 shekels, which makes it about 1¾ of a pound. And these will be used in the tabernacle service. So every tribe is giving tabernacle material still. So this is according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is, it's a measure of weight. The shekel coin doesn't come into existence until many centuries after this. In fact, probably close to a millennium after this. So both of them were full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering. So this is something that will be burned up immediately. One golden dish of 10 shekels, so basically a quarter of a pound, and it was full of incense, which will be used for the incense offering on this particular day. One bull from the herd, one ram, one male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, five male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Nethaneel, the son of Zuar. Now, before we go any farther, I want to help you understand the distinction between these different types of offerings we just heard mentioned. They've actually been mentioned before. And the information is found in the first seven chapters of the book of Leviticus. Now, Leviticus is an operations manual for priests, for Levites. It is a technical manual. It's not intended to be read for devotional purposes, although we can get some interesting aspects about Jesus out of bits and pieces in the book of Leviticus. But it is material that mostly only the Levites and priests are going to want to know. This is one of the reasons I tell people you will likely have a hard time reading the Bible cover to cover as if it were some sort of regular book, because somewhere around the book of Numbers and Leviticus, you're going to run into a whole bunch of stuff that you're just going to go, well, this is just a bunch of names. This is just a bunch of technical stuff. And you will run out of steam. And so I'm going to ask you to rethink how you approach this stuff. Look at it as reference material. Very few people sit down and try to read the dictionary from cover to cover because it's actually reference material. You go there to find information out that you need to know. Same thing with an encyclopedia. That's the book of Leviticus. So in the first seven chapters, you have detailed information about the five different types of offerings. And I have summarized them in a chart to make it easier for our Western, more modern minds to assimilate. This chart is in my Chronological Companion to the Bible, which is online. If you go to intotheword.net, there on the resources section, you can find a copy of it. I'm constantly updating it, so the one that's up there is several years old. I haven't really felt comfortable to reproduce the one that I'm currently kind of editing. So here's what we've got. Are you ready? Here are the five sacrifices repeatedly given by priests. And we just heard some of them mentioned here. A burnt offering, as in a whole burnt offering, a grain offering, a peace offering, a sin offering, and a guilt offering. And these are their purposes and how they are to be given. Are you ready? Here's the whole burnt offering. The whole burnt offering is for the atonement of sin, either of an individual or a group. It can be taken from either the herd or the flock. So it can be a bull or a sheep or a goat. But it does have to be a male. It has to be without defect. because it's supposed to be a perfect representation of a perfect substitute. And by the way, that's one of the things that really ties to Jesus, because he is the ultimate sacrifice. All these sacrifices point to him in some form or fashion. And so he was without the defect of sin. Now, the blood of the burnt offering was to be caught and then poured out or sprinkled at the altar of sacrifice. And remember, life is in the blood, and blood was for atonement. Then the carcass was to be completely washed, and then it was to be entirely burnt up on the altar of sacrifice. That's why it's called a whole burnt offering. You didn't cut it up at all. Now, the one thing that is mentioned for the benefit of poor people who want to make an individual atoning sacrifice is if they can't afford a bull or a sheep or a goat, everybody can afford a dove. And so the poor people could substitute a dove for this particular sacrifice. Now, the second sacrifice was a grain offering, and it is described as being for a memorial, as a reminder of relationship with God. And it could be raw, baked, or fried fine flour. And it might be, you know, mixed up with some olive oil to make it into some sort of fried or baked cake. But it had to be without leaven or honey. And this is, again, similar to the idea of without defect. It is wholly complete. It doesn't have any additives to it that will detract from it. Now, oil and incense are then added to either the raw grain or the baked or the fried cake. And then that a portion of that is burnt up on the altar of sacrifice. And then the remainder of that raw grain or baked or fried cake of grain is eaten by the officiating priests. And so this is the grain offering. The peace offering. The peace offering was a voluntary offering given because you were thankful to God for something that he was doing, or just generically, you were thankful to God. It could come from the herd or the flock. It could be either male or female. That didn't matter. But it did have to be without defect. Its blood was sprinkled at the altar of sacrifice, and then its fat, internal fat, the kidneys, and the gallbladder of the liver, the section of the liver that had the gallbladder on it, those were all burnt on the sacrificial altar as the portion that's given to God. Then the breast or the chest area of the sacrifice and the right thigh, the right back quarter, those were given to the officiating priests. And that became their part of the sacrificial meal. The rest of the animal was then eaten after it had been cooked by the Israelis offering that peace offering. And they would eat it there at the tabernacle area. Because it was a bit of a fellowship sacrifice. The next one of the five was the sin offering. It was when you were confessing a sin that you had been involved in. It could come from the herd or the flock. It could be either male or female. It still had to be without defect. But part of its blood was taken into the holy place, and it was sprinkled in front of the veil, behind which was the Ark of the Covenant, the throne of God. and the mercy seat, the place which is connected to Jesus in the New Testament, as the place or the mechanism by which sin is removed. So some of the blood was also smeared on the horns of the incense altar that sits right in that exact same spot there, right in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And that altar of incense represents prayer. And of course, we know when we confess our sins in prayer to Jesus, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So our confession leads to forgiveness. And that's what's being represented here. Now, the rest of the blood of that sacrifice was then poured out at the base of the altar, just like the burnt offering and the peace offering were. The fat, the kidneys, and the gallbladder were all burnt up, just like on the peace offering. And then the rest of the carcass was taken outside of the encampment to a special clean burn site and burned up. So it wasn't offered on the sacrificial altar. It was burned up elsewhere. Now, we are told in the Leviticus sections about this sin offering that poor people who couldn't afford even a goat, they could substitute either doves or grain as their confessional sin offering. And then that brings us to the final of the five, the guilt offering. It was for specifically restitution. So it's actually not part of our dedication group of sacrifices. This is going to be important for fixing relationships amongst the Israelis. It had to be a ram. It had to be male. It had to be without defect. After it had been butchered and its blood was caught, it was poured out at the base of the altar. Then the person who is basically wanting to apologize for taking something from someone else that didn't belong to them, they had to give back 120% of whatever the understood value of the thing taken was. And then the fat and the kidneys and the gallbladder were burned up on the altar of sacrifice. And then the priests who had been involved in the sacrifice of this guilt offering ate the remainder of the animal, cooked it up, had it for lunch or dinner that day. And the hide went to the senior officiating priest within that group as his right to take and have it tanned and turned into some sort of leather good. So that is a summary, in effect, of chapters 1 through 7 of the book of Leviticus. I would invite you to read it on your own, but understand that it is intended as a tech manual for the Levites who are doing all of these things we're seeing described here in the book of Numbers right now, such as on the days of the altar being dedicated in the temple or the tabernacle being dedicated. Okay, back to Numbers chapter 7. Basically, on the third day of the month, it was the tribe of Zebulun's turn, and they brought the exact same sacrifices, the exact same gift offerings. On the fourth day of the month, it was the tribe of Reuben's turn. They brought the exact same things. On the fifth day, it was the tribe of Simeon's turn, and their leader brought the exact same items for gifting. Then the sixth day came, and it was Gad's turn. They brought the same things. Then we get to the seventh day, and it's the tribe of Ephraim's turn, and they bring exactly the same thing. Which brings us then in the Numbers 7 passage to verse number 54, which says, on the eighth day, Gamaliel, the son of Pedahzur, the chief of the people of Manasseh, brought the exact same offering as that day's important ceremony. And at this point, we shift our attention to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 9, where we are focusing in on what was happening with Aaron and his sons going through their 7 days of ordination, and how on the 8th day we culminate with both the priests and the tabernacle sacrificial altar coming to that climactic moment of being fully functional for God's holy purposes. So Leviticus chapter number 9 begins this way. On the 8th day, so it's the 8th day of the month, the 8th day of the dedication ceremony for both the tabernacle and the priests. On the 8th day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. Remember, Moses is acting as the officiating priest figure in the dedication ceremony. He said to Aaron, "Take for yourself a bull calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering." We already heard about those types of sacrifices, how they're distinct from one another. "Both without blemish, and offer them before he who is. And then say to the people of Israel, take a male goat for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both a year old without blemish, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for a peace offering, to sacrifice before he who is, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today he who is will appear to you." So pretty much 4 of the 5 sacrificial types that we talked about are being used in this climactic ceremony on the 8th day of the dedication, because something big is about to happen. Verse 5, "They brought what Moses commanded into the front of the tent of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before he who is." So probably the front gate of the tabernacle is wide open, and everybody that can is gathered out in front to kind of look into the length of the courtyard up to the tabernacle building itself, so they can kind of get a sense of what's going on. And then Moses said, "This is the thing that he who is commanded you to do, that the glory of he who is may appear to you." Now, they've already seen the persistent glory of God in the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. But that glory cloud that led them since their exodus from Egypt has been hovering at times over the Mount Sinai or over the tent of meeting, where Moses goes outside the encampment to his little office tent, if you will. And the glory cloud apparently comes down off of Mount Sinai and rests there in front of and over that that meeting tent, and then goes back up whenever people start coming to meet with Moses about things they needed to know from God. Well, that tent of meeting was a temporary thing. So the glory of God, probably up on Mount Sinai again, is going to move and overwhelm this brand new tabernacle on day number 8 of its dedication. That is the big deal that's happening on this day. Verse 7. Then Moses said to Aaron, draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and for the people and bring the offering of the people and make atonement for them as he who is has commanded. So Moses or Aaron drew near to the altar. He killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. The sons of Aaron presented the blood to him. He dipped his finger in the blood, and he put it on the horns of the altar, and he poured out the blood at the base of the altar. So that's things we'd already talked about, isn't it? The fat and the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver, that's where the gallbladder is, from the sin offering, he burned on the altar, as he who has commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin he burned up with fire outside the camp. We talked about that, didn't we? And then he killed the burnt offering. And his sons handed him the blood. He threw that at the sides of the altar. And they handed him the burnt offering piece by piece, the head, and he burned them on the altar. He washed the entrails, the legs, burned them on the burnt offering on the altar. And then he presented the people's offering. And basically he does everything that's required for all these different offerings. Verse 18, he kills the ox and the ram as peace offerings for the people. And then, verse number 21, he took the breasts and the right thigh, which belongs to the officiating priests, and he waved them for a wave offering before he who is, as Moses commanded. And then, having completed all of the necessary sacrifices to dedicate this building to God's service, we are told that Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and he blessed them and he came down from the offering, the sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering. And so we have the prayer of dedication, which we'll come back to next time we're into the Word.